is a production of Cornell University.
Hi everyone, it is 4:49 and we are starting the student assembly meeting on this lovely Thursday, October 9th, 2014. The first thing on our agenda is, as soon as Chelsea is ready, she will call the roll.
Here.
Excuse.
Present.
Excuse.
Here.
Excuse.
Here.
Unaccused.
Here.
Great. So there are 22 members in attendance today. I'm going to ask everyone to put away their computers and cell phones. I know it's almost break. Matt and I are going to have ours out because we are down Jordan today, which means that we need to have Charter on hand. Next on the agenda is the approval of the October 2nd, 2014 minutes. And unless there's any dissent to any of the content of the minutes from last week, I'm going to motion that we vote on this unanimously.
Second.
Great. So we are going to approve that by unanimous consent. The next thing on our agenda is open microphone, and I'm going to turn it over to Vice President of Internal Operations, Henderson.
Hello, everyone. It's now open microphone, which is a chance for anyone in the audience to address the assembly with something that's not currently on the agenda. So anyone that's interested, please come forward to the table with the microphone now. Seeing none, open microphone is closed.
Good job. All right. Next is announcements and reports. The first announcement that we have is a United Student Body update by our VP for Diversity and Inclusion, Tayal, and he can also make his announcement about the other things.
Okay, first I'd like to, can I first make the announcement about the unprecedented situation changed in the last 1 week. International students have been receiving calls from a 607 number where they are asked to submit a certain international student tax, education tax amount, which amounts to around $1,500. They are required, the person should access them and ask them to that if this number or if this amount is not submitted, be reported to the police. This is something that's taking up from the university. There have been a few people who have actually lost money in this, and hopefully we will have a university communication out there for the university and now to address this issue. The second is the United Student Body update. So first of all, I would like to congratulate on the two new chairs for the city. The first one is Michelle John, and the second one is Maria Shah. One of these chairs along with me will constitute the DIT task force, which will be taking forward the next few processes to United Student Body. The first process of collecting gifts is finally over. While I don't know actual number of how many gifts have been collected, I can say for certain that 45 gifts above have been collected, and most tier 3 organizations have actually submitted their gifts. Just to remind you, this year the United Student Body has published all the details by 2 times, and we have been able to perform this feat in the last 4 weeks. So I think it's a great task, and I would again like to thank my co-member, Mr. Lui, for leading this process for me. Thank you.
Next on our agenda is a university assembly update and a community life committee announcement by Representative Johnson.
Okay,
Next is a dining update from our representative, the deputy.
So I just wanted to let them know that last year, for the staff of the
next is Slope Media Group and Big Red Bikes reports from Vice President for Finance, Pasenko.
Welcome to a fun day at the Assembly Finance. So to begin, I'll just run through the Big Red Bikes and the Slope Media reports. We met with them on Monday. The organizations, for the most part, are operating in a pretty similar way to last year. We're looking to continue to see improvement from Big Red Bikes in terms of an electronic system that they're looking to implement. We're a little bit concerned about the ridership and the need ridership, and that was something we wanted them to address. Looking at Slope Media Group, we really wanted the organization to figure out where they thought they would operate within Cornell in the next 5 to 10 years instead of thinking very short term. We were also looking to the organization to address where they would fit within the university, given the fact that there are already existing other existing media outlets. And so those were things that we asked them to address, and that's just kind of information for your knowledge. So if you apply for byline funding next year, if you're on the student assembly or the appropriations committee, you might want to take that into consideration. We'll be seeing a few other organizations that I'm going to run them off the top of my head in a couple weeks, but I'll send you out an email if you're interested in attending. Thanks.
So now we can start to move into business of the day. The first thing is Resolution 17, SASC allocation appeals. Alex and Murphy can also come up
and
to the table. And yeah. You guys, yeah, just bring a chair with you. So you guys get 4 minutes to start off generally speaking, and then everyone else will get 2 minutes speaking time for the rest of the speakers list. If you're interested in being on the speakers list, just let me know by raising your hand.
Okay. I'm probably going to ask for an extension for the conference that I see for the speech on this issue, as well as some of our teaching presses. So we had a this past Monday, and there were probably 3, 4, 5, 7 acres that appealed for the funding. I'm not going to go into specifically the other organizations, but I'm going to use that YJC for having a meeting of the organizations and decided to appeal their time to explain that appeal. If you have any questions specifically about the other organizations, I'm going to ask help. Just remember, or if you want to answer those questions, just remember that I'm here to kind of tell us to make that into account. So also, when you drive that out, yes, it's a speech and a number of organizations speak. So first of all, there are over 550 other universities who were able to go through this process. Cornell is currently on the MSG chief email in August and indicated they had approved. That was an automatic email that was sent to the university notification for June. They were one of the only organizations that ultimately chose this email for not able to receive because it was being sufficient. The other reason why we thought they did not get it, or that the FSC did not get it, that the Cornell accreditation is that the treasurer was able to, the treasurer actually received an email that said you need to sign and approve for registration and organization, and the treasurer ignored that email because they were able to see organization, at least that was the committee's understanding. In terms of film club, the committee also thought that the FSC did not get it in time funding. The two biggest arguments that the committee felt first, so that they had funded this event in the past, and in fact, that they will, back this one directly. Second, that the committee felt was a big reason why they should be funding that. They asked for a 100 movie ticket that could be used at any time, and it was not clear whether or not those movie tickets would be used for social events or whether or not for social usage, which is not allowed by the FSC, or if it would be used for actual events through the organization. It's typical, like, it didn't apply to the event to make that decision, but also the community felt that the FSC was not there in that. So I'll let the person now speak and then I'll let the organization respond.
Are you ready for this
by 4 minutes.
Okay, so there's been a motion to extend by 4 minutes. There's been a second. I'm going to just ask that you approve that motion by unanimous consent.
Yeah.
Great.
Immediately after
I turned out to be a problem. Many friends said, oh my god, my organization has the same problem. The difference is they didn't appeal, probably because funding is more important for organizations. Now that money is being used to these emails that I got in the past, this first email is from August 27th. It says, you submitted a renewal request for someone else. I received that email immediately after submitting my online renewal request. The next day, on August 28th, I received this email. Your renewal request for someone else has been approved by the Office of National Commission. I received an email the day after submitting my registration. I assumed that that was not an automated email because it was approved by the human being according to the email. Later, on September 15th, I received an email that our funding will not be reviewed because the registration status is approved. This resolution says that multiple emails are sufficient. There, our treasurer gave his receipt an email indicating that she needed to have an online signature. However, I, who submitted the registration, received only emails indicating that we were fully approved. I received no emails indicating that further action needed to be taken. And if I received an email that said that further action needed to be taken, of course I would have spoken with the treasurer and had that situation rectified immediately. However, I did not receive any of that information.
So now we'll have a vote.
It's 0-0. Motion extend for 2 minutes.
All right, unanimous. I'm going to ask the lead for that by unanimous consent. Great.
Thank you. Thank you for hearing our presentation today. The two concerns were raised to our organization, both the Michigan State Oregon Secretary of Health and the appeal, that they take a kind of individual function, and that makes us responsible. So first point, I'm a member of another organization on campus. I'm part of the Film Club. I believe that film is an inherently social medium, and that going to see film is as much a social function as a meeting at a date where people are watching from a future campus. In addition, a local event, any event that's held in Washington County is considered a local event under FASC guidelines, so I'm not sure why this is a problem. As we repeatedly stated, we will ensure that this event is open to all of our communities who are registered. They have brought up that we didn't get a specific date, so the specific byline, I guess, law that they refer to does not actually say that we didn't get a specific date, and we're not sure why the measures would be that one before, where we will record all individuals who attend these meetings and ensure that they are not attacked, used for personal use, finally, they have a public function and think that the case will be used for personal use only, for organization. We believe that the tickets are essential as in the past year for our organization to continue our mission, which has been approved by the FASC both this year and in the past.
Perfect timing. All right. First on our speakers list is E.P. Bhandari.
Hi, thank you guys for coming. So I have a question to Film Club, because I think that I had sit on AFCOM, so we listened to your statement during that meeting. And I just had a question regarding the tickets and who you were giving it to, because during our meeting, what it was presented to us was that the tickets would be going to members of the club who were very active, and that would be how those tickets were distributed. But you said in your presentation right now that the tickets are going to be given to Cornell community. So could you just clarify exactly who is getting the tickets? And then in terms of like what this event is, like, are you guys going to be watching the same movie, or is it just like you can go to the movie and appreciate the film on your own?
So in the past, the way that we worked with it, we had where we arrange patients and we'll talk through taking time to make sure that our membership is available to the time. We also publicize and why we have access. So we've already had a couple using the student film
speakers list is VP Panel.
Okay, so I see two different organizations here, so I have a question for you. So in the case of the progressive, while I'm legitimate that your concern might be, my question is for the SAFC co-chair. Did you, in your information sessions, inform, not only in your information sessions, but in any communications to all organizations, inform them that they need to go on boxing and check their profiles for that season?
Yes. All the emails we have been able to announce were separate from my emails prior to the deadline, and also prior to the electronic process and the off hours. Clearly stated that all three offices must approve and the board of commissions must be approved via board system. In addition, through our written documentation is available on our website. First page of the House of Senate budget via board system material shows the board of commissions to check the profiles app to make sure that the board of commissions has not
okay. So they should have emails in there in the, their respective inboxes that tell that they need to go to boxing and check their skills. And my question for film club was that, as Yami said, there is clearly ambiguity of who the people are who are going to receive the tickets. But a more specific question to SAFC, has the film club ever received funding for this event before, if you have knowledge of that? And my last question for Matt, so today what we're judging is, what we're voting on is whether they have aired their decision, that's all right?
Correct. So, that's a good point, Sarah, and Sean. When you're, what the assembly cabinet will allow to return, is whether or not something has aired their decision in the way it will return. It's not a question of whether or not the rules are right. It's not a question of whether or not the rules are valid.
Yeah, and also just to clarify for our new members that when we have a resolution with all of the appeals in a row, what we need to do is we can either vote to approve all of them as written, or we can do by a two-thirds majority of SA members to overturn the document in its entirety. You can't overturn a single decision right now, and if you want to overturn a single decision, we would have to overturn the entire document as a whole and then go back and amend it. So just for your consideration, but I know Film Club wanted to speak, so if you guys would like to speak, you can go for it.
So I just personally I think it's inconsequential.
whether after receiving an email stating that we were fully approved by an actual person, not by a computer. If we receive an email saying check your registration status, because if we received an email that indicated that we were fully registered, then there's no logical reason to check to see if somehow the prior email was somehow false. And additionally, this may be tangential or inconsequential. We've been Cornell organization for the past 12 years, so it's not like we haven't done this before.
Great. Next on our speaker list is Representative Alicon. Next is Representative Fridman.
Thank you.
Great. Next on our speaker list is Representative Pataglia. Okay. Next person on our speaker list is Representative Zhao.
Hey guys, so I have two questions for today. I have a question for today and a question for the building. For today, the question is, I think you guys said that you guys approved film club for AFM Services for Cornell Film Club. Why don't you guys approve one of the passages you guys say that appreciate the government really available to my community as a whole? And my second question
so I guess our response first is as noted earlier, the government is going to be lower, so that just you felt very confident that the group would be able to use the entire application.
So I'll have you can respond, but then I'm going to go back to student assembly members.
In response to the argument that we'll be able to spend all the tickets, I'd like to point out that we have over 200 members on our order of age. We've had meetings this year with over 60 members attending. I am confident that we will be able to use these tickets in the intended manner to facilitate events for film appreciation.
Okay, so next is E.D. Henderson.
Yeah, as a member of the Appropriation Committee, I'm just of the mindset for Cornell Progressive's case that I understand it was very confusing to get like an email like that, but I don't think it changes the underlying requirements that everyone should be aware of. So, like, if you get an email like that, you should be wondering, like, why is that coming up, and you should be investigating. Just because, like, you accidentally get an email, I don't think it changes the underlying requirements. And for film clubs, I kind of agree that something like that, that's like a store of value. Like, if you try to order, like debit cards or, like, gift cards or something, it's essentially equivalent. And I think there has to be more definite plans for something to use something of that value.
So before we move on to our second speaker's list, which means student assembly members who have already spoken, is there any other student assembly member who would like to speak who has not spoken yet? All right, seeing none. Oh, okay, Representative Yang.
This is actually more questions with SAA in regards to the actual resolution rather than just some self I was reading through it and noticed, at least for the Democrats, there was an objection for tables and chairs on that designated the durable goods. And the only thing I can know about the durable goods is that it's just happening, it might happen at least 2 years. If you can just clarify why.
In terms of SAA guidelines, when I was around to request tables and chairs, in order for it to also qualify as durable good, it must not replicate another item that you can no longer.
Okay, if you guys would like to speak. Yeah, you guys can speak before you leave if you would like to make one more statement.
Sure. Just kind of thing is the reason we're getting investigated after getting an email is because I had gotten an email a day prior saying you submitted a request. So if I had submitted my renewal request and had gotten an email immediately, your renewal request was approved, I would have investigated. That would be very bizarre. So the fact that I didn't get it until a day later indicated to me that in that time, all of the members, including the treasurer, had signed off. So just as a closing statement, I would just like to reiterate that it seems like an unreasonable request for student organizations to assume that communication they received is false. And I feel like this is a fundamental thing to that, whether we should assume that a communication is false or whether we should stop it.
Great, thank you so much, and thank you for coming today. So is there anyone else who'd like to speak before I move on to the second speaker? All right.
So I just want to comment on this panel of statistics. You are the ticket consumption, so I know what you're planning on using the ticket to the ticket. So what is the cost of the actual plan? And you guys have how much of the plan is
so we haven't planned specific, I guess, showing for events.
How many?
I mean, we like to have the first event to be open and white on both sides, and then we use that as a benchmark for how many members can get them to get
them. I guess just one thing that keeps coming back, especially the members and attendance, and this is something that came up as well during the preparation for the year. So a couple times now, but global business.
All right, yeah, this is the last back and forth I'm going to allow between you guys before I move on to the second speaker's list. So if you need to respond, you can.
Okay. So I think if you look at the communications that we have back and forth, and I think some balance is going over store of value over how these tickets and stuff to see how they can be used, even over our membership and openness of the community has been raised. I think these are issues which we can look into. However, I do not believe these are the issues that were originally raised either on the Comic-Con budget or in prior years. So I'm willing to work with the commission and with the SA if you have concerns about our openness of our membership. But I believe that the funding committee has erred with regard to the specific statutes that they have cited in this document in the past communication.
Okay, so now I'm going to move on to the second speaker's list, unless there's someone who has not spoken yet and would like to speak. Seeing none, we're moving into the second speaker's list. First person is Nikki Kyle.
Okay, so firstly, my first question is to you, and just to try to make a point from the science of the as a member of the Appropriations Committee, and this is my personal opinion also. So if I want to go to your event without ever going to any of your events before, if I want to go to your ticket event for the first time, according to what you just said, I could not, because I need to attend an event of yours before, right? So that makes it not open to the community at large. No, you said actually a member of the first you told me that at the appropriations meeting that there would be a point of still and the members with the highest point could attend would get to get these free tickets. One member would get these free tickets. Then she said that I have to be a member to attend this free ticket event, and you said I have to attend another event to be also to attend this event. So either way, these events will not be open to the community at large, and this issue was raised very adequately at the Appropriations Committee meeting. So that's my first point. My second point that was raised at the Appropriations Committee meeting was that there's high risk of these tickets to be used for personal use, and that's something that no one can guarantee again. So I'm not trying to put your credibility into question, but the thing is that when the student assembly gives you funding for this, we are setting up precedents for other organizations to also take money for such an issue. So these are two fundamental co-ideological issues that I think come into play and are the reason why this form of funding is being rejected.
You guys can respond. Sorry, we have a lot of people who want to speak. So we're going to ask, I've been allowing you guys to speak immediately after because we did not have a very long speakers list, but our usual mode of operation is we allow two FA members and then you can respond. So in the interest of time, I am going to ask that you wait for one more student assembly member to speak. Thank you very much. First person is VP Bhandari.
I guess my question is kind of going back to the same thing with regards to like an event. You keep saying that, you know, this is like an organized event you go to, so I'm just kind of really confused. Like, this event doesn't have a date, so when you're publicizing it, is it just come watch a movie with us? Or like, I'm just kind of confused with regards to how that's structured. And then also, if your like membership is 200 members and you have 100 tickets, I'm just not sure like where the community fits into that, just given your like large membership size.
So you guys can respond.
Okay, with regard to the foundational ideological question, maybe that's the question that's been said in the past year. We are exercising the funding in the exact same manner, but again,
point of order, so SASP is delayed.
Okay. But point of order. I have acknowledged that there are potentially concerns about their use, and I am open to any ideas. The document that we received specifically from the funding committee is that there are going to be funds to be funded in a better manner. They have specified what a better manner is. To your point, and I guess also to Sean's point about membership, point distribution, I am the president of this organization. I'm telling you that these events will be open to any member, and our membership is rather open to any student on campus who shows up in logistics of how exactly this event will occur. I recognize
Next on the speaker list is Representative Ali Khan. Respond and then we have one more actually member of the speaker list. Representative Pizarro.
One is that a lot of organizations have had
issue grant from the federal division and that was kind of that. So I just want to ask that we keep the same rules in play for all because this is so scary.
FASD and DP Sabanko can respond.
Okay, so my question is, I also work with the certificate board. So if you don't know that, that's the policymaker school of Liberty Hall, which includes Cornell Federal. Within Cornell Federal, and what we do when we grant funding for Cornell Federal is we never give money out without a date. So we always request a specific date for a specific event, and then that way, in that case, that tickets wouldn't be transferred out for other personalized uses. There's only a certain amount, 100 tickets for this day. Even if you do board would not purchase bulk tickets in advance for multiple days. We only set a certain date, and at that day we purchase those tickets. So I was wondering, why would you be planning on purchasing a large amount of tickets for multiple, or for unspent tickets?
Sure. So to the extent that we are here to appeal to the things that have been issued in the review document, I don't know how your organization runs it, but section 8.2.2.2, which is the specific section that they refer to, does not mention that we need a specific date. It has to be applied to the specific date. But we, and if going forward, we're sure to make a kind of work around that. But given that we are no longer allowed,
you can respond.
With respect to errors in our decisions, bring to your attention the wrong section of the guidelines, which is section 6.1.2.
Next is Representative Dunn.
I was just thinking of, I guess, like, your policy for a change as a kid. I kind of want to think of that as something kind of like for me, where when I was a kid, maybe it shows interest in the next year, like, I went to a little bit of a community center. To think of the city as being able to really do that, I think that that's kind of a way to move into the film club, and kind of a club. If you're interested in, like, some of that, like, I don't know, kind of like that day or something, but if you're interested in, like, a community event, you go to, like, a meeting, which is kind of like a library, I don't know what it's called.
Great, so that has expired all three of our speakers list, meaning that unless you guys would like to make some additional remarks, I would request that anyone who would like to speak come forward now or bring a motion to the floor.
If you're trying to speak,
I'll just make a remark.
All right. Final remark, and then
so we'll see you. In regards to the addresses and thanks for the call as well, both on the filling out the emails and all the paper documents. I'm not going to judge us history on this, but last semester my advisor died in the middle of the application process for SEC funding. Our appeal was rejected. Second appeal was rejected again. So in all sense, I don't hold any personal grudge. This is just a really bad situation. And then in terms of that, I still feel like though we did not end up filling out everything on time, and we couldn't really appeal without an advisor as well. I still stand by the decision to not grant progressive and funding at least.
So, I'm going to let some of them make a final decision.
Sure. Either way, that's better.
Okay.
Yeah, you guys can go. So much.
So I'm just going to wrap up in all three. That in terms of the club and the other piece of information as well is that we spoke with Roxanne, and when the club spoke with Roxanne following the rejection of their approval, they went to the man and Roxanne the next day, and they indicated to us that Roxanne immediately, without that happening, was intentionally immediately approved, and given that, but the idea that Roxanne had a few issues that they had. Yeah.
There's been a motion to vote on the floor. There's been a second. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, we can go into a vote. Before we go into voting, I'd like to remind you all about how voting works. Approving the Appropriations Committee's decision on SAFC appeals will require a majority vote of sitting SA members. To overturn these decisions would require a two-thirds vote of SA members present. If the SA decides to overturn the decision of the Appropriations Committee on all of these appeals, then the SAFC is required to reevaluate their decision. So, how this works is there are 20 members present. In order for us to approve this decision, we will need to have 14 members vote in favor of approving all of these appeals as written. If you would like to overturn even a single one of these decisions, you will need to overturn the entire document. And because that would require a two-thirds vote of members present, that would also be 14. So, is everyone clear on how the voting works for this one? So, we are going to go into a placard vote. I'm going to ask. Yes. Yeah.
You go back.
Yeah, if we don't get a majority for either one, we go back into debate and then we can vote. Hopefully that doesn't happen, but. We can go into our vote right now. If you would like to vote in favor of approving all of these decisions, please raise your placard. Great. If you would like to oppose, if you would like to abstain, by a vote of 18-2-0, this passes. Thank you very much for attending today. We appreciate everyone being here from the SAFC and the Film Club. Now we can move on to our next piece of business of the day, which is actually more funding, so Matt, don't go too far away. Special Project Funding Ivy Leadership Summit. Going to be Representative Gao.
$1,150 less than the special products.
speak on behalf of the Library Conference Commission. So yes, we are taking the new registers. We wanted to make an initial of 3 alphabetic registers. So that way we can use Cornell Month, which is the criteria. But that also includes like other sponsored leaders just outside of Cornell. We're looking to explore 2 more, and I don't think we'll be looking to do appropriations to be secure our funding for any more teachers. We do have other choices of secure funding at this point, and there's also a video on registration to attend the conference itself. But Justin and I saw more of that $30 going towards the exact amount of money for the delegates, because in that case, it's coming out of pocket for the delegates. So that would cover the cost of food. And other possible costs, which are going to be that the delegates themselves have to incur. So other choices right now, we do have to be $1,000 in the cultural dialogue center. That's also paying out in funds that we can use to support any other outreach that we do decide to
do. Okay. Next on our speakers list is Pete Henderson.
Yeah, I just wanted to show my support for this decision. The SA should be doing something to fund at least David Price, who seems an ILR grad, and I think we could pull in some other people either for the video or to attend with the extra space in the Lewis Auditorium. But I just wanted to make sure that this was the right amount for David Price, because I know you said he was paying for his own transportation and he was just one night in the Stellar Hotel, so could you just confirm that? Cause I know you gave us a lot of information and appropriations.
Thank you.
just going to say that. What? Yeah, there's a lot of people on the speaker list, actually. The first person is AP Tayal.
Yeah, I would just like to extend my support to this call here, and I would personally also like to support you in any way I can. I just had one point, is that I'm very saddened to see that SDUs never put the student assembly logo or never openly said that student assembly funded them for the $1,500 they gave them, which is one of the main reasons why that event actually happened. I don't know if this is a rule or not, but I would really appreciate it if this resolution passes, and I think I'm put on their promotion. Whatever promotion you have, if you could put the student assembly logo and make sure that we sponsor the event for two reasons. Number one, it creates more awareness about the assembly and different forms of assembly funding. And number two, in front of other student governments and other institutions, we would want to say that we are supporting such a cause.
Next is Representative Sakavia.
Event registration around like $30 for people who aren't going. I was wondering if this also includes everyone in the Cornell student public, like if I, for instance, like if I had to pay $30 for registration fee, and whether you think I'm making it feasible for the Cornell public to actually go to this.
Closer that you could give members of the student assembly the link to register if they would so choose to, no matter what, and also so we can advertise it to Cornell students. Next up is Erin Lynn.
And I'm not sure.
court because we don't quite have one specific team that actually cut out, for example, salary or passive grant. So those are things that would provide better challenges of money, but those are definitely not things that we need. And in terms of moving forward, I will work very quickly to see if we can make sure that we are changing the budget like on the dot. Because there's no way that we would want to see that on the long run.
VP Bhandari.
So I have two questions. With regards to like the events that you guys have, I know like there's a registration fee if you want to attend the entire conference as a part of Cornell's delegation, but like David's price would be free for everyone, right? If you were just attending. Like if I'm a member of the Cornell community and I want to watch David's price, could I just go, or is that also with an additional fee? With the 300, like in terms of like having the budget ready and whatnot, like is the conference still good to go without the other funding that you may have anticipated from the SA? I guess how are you planning without the the money that we're not if we're not going to be the full amount, how are you planning without that fund?
Right. Okay. So basically, my top priority in terms of using the funds for that is our budget.
If you have a discussion about like some of the different policies which we had a discussion about in Princeton, why you do that as well?
I think there are issues on here, and although I think all the questions are really genuine ones that should be asked, I really urge people to focus on the regulation at hand, the $340 allocation.
Okay, great. I mean, Lisa, if you want to respond to that now, you can. Okay, great. Thank you very much for that one. Rep Johnson.
I'll use my time for that reason, but I didn't have a good day at the conferences, so I feel like it would be good.
Yeah, so it's November
14th
through
16th.
Great. So next is Representative Gordon. So we will be confirming this, even though it's only $340, because it was initially $1,500. Is everyone clear? So we need a majority vote of the student assembly. Please raise your placard if you would like to approve. Please raise your placards if you'd like to oppose. You can only vote once. Alright. Please raise your placard if you'd like to abstain. By a vote of 18-0-0, this would pass. Oh, okay, great. No, we don't count people who are not in the room.
And just as a quick note on any comments or questions, please come to the afternoon. And I have a little another thing on the fact this is just an idea about the society of the center and the crowd of the and this is just a great community successful event. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you so much, Lisa. Okay, great. So now we are moving on to new business, improving lighting and fixing the walkway on Live Slope. It's 19. Resolution 16. Actually, Resolution 19 is first on the agenda. And I think it was submitted first. Sorry about that. Go for it.
Hi guys. So a lot of students on the campus that I don't know how to use
when you're walking down that pathway, because of the lighting, it's actually pretty unsafe. There's popcorn down there, and it can get a flick, and she is doing that. Now, I know that there's there's a floodlight, a form of normal floodlight. This is a pretty good job by the floodlight, but unfortunately, we should be updating the shrubbery and the trees on the northeastern side of the slope. That floodlight we can provide the building is going to see that as well. And as a result, we use the safety light. So I've been talking to the director about facilities.
So first on our speaker list is Representative Zach. Bhandari.
So I think it's a great idea. Someone who uses the slope on the right, I think that it's just, it's an especially real concern. But I just wanted to ask if you could discuss this briefly, but so the campus conducts like a lighting survey every year, and they use it as a mechanism for understanding where, poorly lit areas are. And I was wondering if you are potentially hoping, if this passes, to reach out to those people and potentially look into other places that also need lighting to kind of further this resolution.
So the campus survey for lighting and the wall that we lighting actually during the week with Ryan Austin and others. So if you'd like to join them, I can go to the that's something that you can do. I think they're pretty serious about it. When I talked to them, they thought that the only additional lighting that's needed is near the stairway. But my understanding is from what I hear from my constituents is that those stairways actually get lighting from the street tree well, it's the area above. No, that's a lot of lighting, and that's what it is, a resolution trying to address for them. So, that's why I think it's a good resolution, because you have to show them that the body is really about this.
Okay, so because it is 6:31, and I know a lot of you guys have travel plans and prelims, I am going to ask that we just expire the three speakers that are on our speakers list right now, and that we give them about 5 minutes to extend the meeting. So I would appreciate if we could extend the meeting by 5 minutes. So I'll formally motion that by unanimous consent. Is there anyone who opposes that? Great. So we'll expire the next three speakers, and then we can move into adjourning the meeting. First is Representative Battaglia. Okay. Next is Representative Pickham.
I just want to say this is a great resolution, especially because that's why I'm talking about the whole thing. But the issue that I have with it is that I know that the issue with putting away on the past has been that it works to have like a range of compromise in that space, but I think it's slow because it's important to have a photograph like in which you can link well. And I know that that is one of the university conditions.
So, the resolution is to create additional audience by using names and normal lecturing and slide quotes. So, you really don't need to add a way that someone is going to just come to play this right over again. But in another way, we're going to hold it to one play, and more than one more play, just to reduce that part of it. I know that you've been doing a lot of work, extensive work online on the northeastern part of the local view, so that they just don't look like you can send on road.
And our last person is Representative Chen.
No.
Motion to approve?
No,
no.
It's not.
Oh, it's on.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Oh wait, Gina, do you want to speak? Is that what you're doing?
Okay.
So after we adjourn the meeting, we will actually do two quick announcements, one from Gina and one from Yami. So we can motion to adjourn, and it has been seconded. I'm going to ask that we approve that by unanimous consent. There's any dissent? No? Okay, so it is. Okay, it is 6:34 p.m. We are adjourning the meeting, and now we will go into those two
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.